So as all those men were coming up, I had just had a thought. So, you know, the Bible study that we do once a month on Tuesday is the name, 300, Set the World on Fire. The 300 comes from a quote that evangelist years back, and centuries back, John Wesley quoted. He said, if you give me 300 men that's on fire, and I'm just paraphrasing, I don't know the exact quote. He said, if you give me 300 men that's on fire for Christ, all in, all out, on fire for Christ, we can set the world on fire. And I believe it. Just look at all those men that came up here, which is not 300. But just think if us men that were in that group right there, we went out and just reached one person. Just, you see how it works, right? So that's what we need to be doing. So we're going to kind of focus on reaching people a little bit today. And 4th of July just went by. Independence Day. We still live in the greatest country in the world. Amen. But let me tell you this, though. There's a whole lot better place waiting on us. Right? It's not a perfect world, and we know that, and we just seen that. What's going on right now with those babies that's missing from that church camp and all the other lives that have been affected. We're living in a fallen world, imperfect world, and why I read Proverbs a while ago, just lean on his understanding, not ours. Don't overwhelm yourself on thinking why and stuff, because right now the why doesn't matter. God knows why. God has it in control. But what he's looking for is how we're going to respond as Christians, not just men, all Christians, how we're going to come together and respond around the world. Get some of my junk out of the way here. So, we had men's breakfast yesterday. We're talking about men. We had some show up yesterday, and we ate breakfast. You know, like we're real good at that, eating food, or I am anyway. So, we got that down. So, we kind of talked about everything that we need, a mental focus. Sometimes we got, as Christians, we got to, you know, we got to refocus and regroup a little bit and see what our purpose is, and reunite with what our purpose is. So I'm not going to preach on what we talked about yesterday, but it kind of goes into what we are going to preach about today. And while y'all waiting on that, turn to Romans 1:20. That's where our main scripture is going to be later when I get there. So everything you need, mental focus. First of all, each and every one of us has got to make a choice. And we talk about that a lot, right? You hear that word all the time. I say it all the time from up here. We got to make a choice. I say it all the time because you have to make a choice. And there's no way around it. You got to choose what you're going to do. Are you going to follow Christ or you're not? That's as simple as it gets. Is either are or you're not. Bottom line, you got to make a choice. But let me tell you, if you don't make the choice to follow Christ, your destination is already chosen for you. And that's to burn in hell for eternity. And that's just the way it is. I don't know how else to put it. So we got to make a choice, okay? We're going to make that choice as a Christian. And so if you haven't made a choice, you need to start thinking about, listen to me today, listen to what God has to say, so you can make that choice. And then you will, we got to, after we make the choice, we got to follow him. We got to follow. And so we got to, when he called some of his disciples, we talked about this yesterday. So the men that were at breakfast yesterday, y'all can take your nap real quick, and then I get into the sermon, because y'all already heard this part. Just joking. But some of y'all take naps anyway, so. anyway, just being funny. So, when he called some of his disciples, the fishermen especially, and so they had to move. This is kind of a little quote. I didn't make this up. I'm not that smart, okay? Move from the shoreline to the Savior. That's what they decided to do. They made a choice right then, and we talked about yesterday. When they made that choice, they left their livelihood behind. They weren't recreational fishing. That's what they did for a living. They left not only their occupation behind, they left their families, sacrificed their families. Now that they, you know, at that moment, and they decided they was all in and they followed Christ. They made that choice to follow him. So what is your, when you make that choice, what are you going to, because there's going to be a sacrifice. You might not quit your job and leave your family. I ain't I don't want to do no divorce counseling, so y'all don't do that. But you're supposed to laugh. But anyway. But we got to prioritize. That's what I'm leaning towards. We got to prioritize, and there's going to be a sacrifice. And we got to not only move to the shoreline, to the Savior, we got to move from our knowledge to knowledge in our heart. What's coming from your heart? That's what people know and see if you're a Christian or not. What comes from your heart? You can know this. We're having a Bible study right now in the book of John about the Pharisees. The Pharisees knew this better than anybody at that time. The Old Testament of what they had. They knew all that in here. But their heart was somewhere else. Not to follow Christ. Because they didn't want to give in to Christ. So we got to change, you know, we got to study. We're getting that in a minute. We got to study and we got to move forward with Christ, but we got to move that, we let it soak in our heart, not just our mind. And then to do that, you got to do something. You got to pick, not the dust off your Bible. Get in there. You got to study it. You got to study His Word. You got to pray. Study His Word like it's a textbook, but it's more than that. It's a life-saving event, but we'll get in that later. You have to set a time aside to read God's Word. You got to make the time. We're all busy. I know. I get that. But you have. This is not an option. Okay. If you want to be a Christian and you want to do what God wants you to do, you have to get in His Word. You got to set that time aside. Now, look. You don't have to be a scholar, so to speak. That ain't what he's talking about. You got to get that relationship study one-on-one with Christ. You got to study His Word as a survival guide. God knows a lot of people right now are in survival mode up in Central Texas. Okay? We need to lean on His Word. Okay, so then you're going to follow Him. You're going to study Him. Now, here's what old saying, the rubber meets the road. Obey Him. Okay, you can know it, you can say, I'm a Christian, but if you don't do anything, I don't know how to put it, you got to obey what He tells you to do. You got to be prepared to change your values. You got to be prepared for that. And the second thing you got to be prepared for is your vision, which, in other words, what direction does He have you going? Because I can almost guarantee you, it's probably not going to line up with what you got in mind. His vision for you or His purpose for you might not line up with what you have in mind. You might have, you know, that's where that sacrifice comes in, changing your lifestyle, you know, losing a few friends that you can't do what you used to do. So we got to get our mental focus right. So just follow Him, study Him, and we obey Him. That's all extra, so I ain't going to charge you for that one. So, without excuse. That's the name of the sermon, if you want a name. Our key verse is Romans 1:20. Now, I'm doing something a little different than I usually do. We'll see how this works out. If it don't work out, we won't do it again. That's as simple as that. We might be home early, or we might be, I don't know what we're going to do. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation, I want you hang on that word creation for a minute, just remember that, of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Okay? All right. You're going to accept Christ. You're going to say, okay, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to study Your Word. I'm going to be all this, right? I'm going to make all the church services. I'm going to do all this stuff, right? And I'm going to obey what You tell me to do. And then let me tell you what He's going to tell you to do. One aspect of it. And it's in different forms, different ways of doing it. But Matthew 28, He's going to tell you, because you become a disciple of Christ, He's going to tell you to go. And do what? Reach other people. Right? Go into the world. And like I said, He might not tell you to go to Africa. But you're going to go somewhere. You need to get His Word out there one way or the other, right? That's our job. You can base everything He wants you to do around that one deal. Go. And he don't say go and this is going to happen or this or this. And you're going to come back at this time. He don't tell you none of that. He just says go. That's complete obedience, just like his disciples did from the shoreline to the Savior. They went. They just dropped everything they was doing at that moment and followed him. That's what we need to do. That's that mindset we need. If he tells you to go witness to this person, you need to go do it. One way or the other, you need to find a way to do it. And so you might have to miss a coffee break or something, but make a phone call. You got to do something to do what he wants you to do. So it's without excuse. So all that being said, you know, we all these missionaries, and which is good stuff. This is all good things. Excuse me. I swallowed a bug or something. So, hang on. So he tells us to do all this stuff, and we go out there, and we're witnessing people. You know, you can walk out the door and just walk across the road, up down the road and witness people. So it's, you know, make it simple. But he's going to tell us to do all this. So what about those people in a remote world, a part of the world that missionaries can't get to? And so those tribes deep in the jungle, or what, you know, there's, so what about them people? You ever thought about that? You're about the people, because, you know, our sermon today is without excuse. So it's on you if you don't make the choice to follow Christ. And Paul, in 1:20, that's what we're going to discuss. And so since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, we're going to get into that. So I know there are probably a few deer hunters in here, a few fishermen. You know, and that entails women, too. I know women hunt, women fish, so that just... All right, amen, say that. We got bird watchers, I guess. I don't know. But have you ever... I want you to look. Here's your homework assignment. And this week, before next Sunday, come back, and then I want to hear a testimony from somebody. Somebody going to have a testimony, tell me. Or they should. Just so what I want you to do this week is find your time to go out into nature, outside, on the back porch drinking coffee, I don't care, whatever, and stuff, and with the mindset of creation in mind, what God has done, how he's put everything together, and stuff, and just look at it with an open mind, and not just, that's a bird flying by. But have you ever really looked at nature? Have you ever really took it in and say, wow, a Big Bang theory didn't do that. Okay, there was a Big Bang, I'm sure, but it wasn't a theory. Because, you know, Big Bang theory is still a theory. You ever thought about that? So anyway, get that junk out of your head. There ain't no Big Bang theory. There's God, the creator of everything, the other universe. Okay, and look at it. There's nothing out there. And I brought up deer hunting because I'm deer hunt. And I love sitting in the mornings in the deer stand as the sun's starting to rise and nature wakes up. And there'd be no doubt in your mind, if you go in there with that open mind about God creating everything, that God created everything. And it'll blow your mind. Just try that this week and stuff, and find that quiet time and just look at everything. And that's just around here, but we ain't getting into the universe and everything else. But God is the creator of everything that's happened. And those people that's not reached by a missionary or don't have scripture, and so that's what Paul is saying, is just look at creation itself. And I got wind today from somebody, I don't know this for fact, but I think a buddy told me, when y'all Sunday school lesson about Job, and say I didn't plan this around the Sunday school lesson. I think in the Sunday school lesson it was Job. God asked Job a question. Where were you when the eagle was flying? Where was you when I created this and that? And go back and read Job if you wasn't in Sunday school. And so God right there set up saying, where was you at when I did this? When I created that? When I put this in the place? And roll into Romans 1, what Paul picking up and saying, look at the invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what was made so that people were without excuse. It says God's invisible attributes, specifically his eternal power and divine nature, are evident in creation, making humanity without excuse without knowing God, acknowledging God. Now, I might not never know God, but we got that, remember, choice. You got to choose, though. Once you do see that, or when you do get witnessed by somebody, or you get presented the word and cry, you still got to make a choice. Not everybody we reach out to is going to make that choice to follow Christ. But so the opportunity is going to be there. The verse emphasizes that God's attributes are discernible through what he has made, allowing for a general understanding of God, even though without special revelation. In other words, get out there, look, you can see God's creation at work. It's there. God reveals himself in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work at hand. No one can miss the evidence of God's creative sovereignty. And I'm going to challenge you to read Isaiah chapter 40. Just read the whole chapter. If you want to see God at work in creation, that's be part of it also. And we'll break it down here in a minute. The heavens declare the glory of God. This is Psalms 19, 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim that work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet, their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. And you keep on reading. Just get into what he's saying is in nature, it's not going to say, hey, God created me. God created this, whatever. But you can see it through the actions of the world, of the nature, of what the psalmist is saying. Just like Paul in Romans. Verse 1 points out the two areas where God has chosen to reveal himself. First, in the heavens, what appears in the skies above. Just look out. Look at the skies above. See what God created. And the skies means the expanse of God's creation. You know, it just so happened that we got a perfect system. He made a perfect system of the sun setting, coming across one end to the other. The moon's in place. Everything is just perfectly placed by God. The glory of God is displayed throughout the universe, a brilliant display. Look at the stars at night, stargazers, people that like to do all that. And the only reason I'm saying this, the only reason that God put this on my heart, because I ask why sometimes. And I just told you a while ago, don't ask why. But, you know, I'm human too. And I was like, because I had a whole different route I was going today. But God wanted me to put this out there because... And he revealed to me. And so we encounter those people that's not going to come to church, that's not going to give themselves an opportunity to come. And so, you know, you invite people to church till you're blue in the face. They may or may not and stuff. But they're still without excuse because they can't go there when God comes back or when their time's in. They can't say, well, I didn't know. Nobody told me about God. Well, I put you in the place that I created, and I was there the whole time. You just didn't make the right choice. So that's why we talking about what we're talking about today. We're talking about the sun, the glory and the power of the sun moving across the sky, one end to the other. The sun sets. God's invisible. We can talk about God's invisible attributes. His eternal power. God's power is everlasting and not limited by time or creation. Creation belongs to him. He did it. For what? For who? For us, time and days. He's an eternal aspect world. He's not restricted by nothing, anything. Everything that we're restricted by, he created for us, put in place for us. But like we talked last week. Once you know the truth and you know Jesus, you accepted Jesus, you started at that moment to live in that eternal world with Him. You started now, from that point till you get there. His divine nature, God's essence and character are revealed through His creation. These attributes cannot be perceived through physical senses, but are known by the mind. And so let your heart, soul, your mind evolve in God's world. So general revelation, God's invisible attributes are made visible through the created world, making them understandable to all. These attributes are clearly seen and understood through what God has made. And they also are seen and understood since creation. So it's there. And I'm skipping some stuff because I ain't going to beat a dead horse. So it's but I'm going to get to the good stuff here. That also now is going to fall back on just a human responsibility. We kind of touched on it a little bit, all right? So it's out there. We got God's creation. I gave you a homework assignment. I want you to go out there and find it. I want you to come get. I want you to come tell me what God revealed to you through His nature, through His creation. And then, but while you do that, then we got to do something. You know, I always say a bunch of times, to have a reaction, you got to have an action first. Yeah. There's got to be something done. You, me, you know, after you make the choice, you, and by the way, let's talk about this a minute. So you make the choice to follow Christ, it don't stop right there. Okay, now through eternity, you're gonna follow Christ. And while we're here, we're going to develop ourselves and train ourselves up and let Him work through us, revealing things and doing His work, His purpose for us. And your purpose, you know, the general purpose is going out and witnessing people, going to tell people. There's different ways to do that. He's going to reveal individually, if you let Him get closer to God, He'll open more opportunities, let you have more opportunities, and give you the opportunity to do these things. And so we got to stay in His Word and get closer to Him. Humanity is accountable for not... Let me back up. Humanity is accountable for not acknowledging God as His existence and nature are clearly displayed. So it's not an excuse. And we talked last week about truth, about what real truth is. You know, I can tell you something and stuff in a way that I think is true. But we boil down to what's God's truth, what's in the Word. And so He's saying, don't suppress the truth. A lot of people do that. They don't want to hear that. You know, a lot of people don't come into this church because they don't want their toes stepped on. That's just bottom line. They don't want to hear the truth. That's a mindset. And a lot of people are that way. I got a lot of close friends that will not come to a church function or show up because they don't want to hear what so they already know what they need to do. And they know God is convicting them. But they suppress the truth. There's a lot of people do that. And we don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Because God can do anything. And so don't suppress the truth. Despite the evidence, some suppress the truth about God, choosing to ignore or deny His existence. All people, that's everybody. All, you know, that's everybody here. All people, well, y'all a hard crowd today. Can't get no. I'm trying to come up with some better jokes. I'm going to scrap all of them jokes. Let's see here. All right. All people, regardless of their background or access to Scripture, are culpable before God. When that time comes, when you're face to face with God, you can come up with every excuse known to mankind, and it's not going to matter. Because all He's going to tell you is you never knew me and you didn't make the choice to know me. when you had opportunity. If you was told by a missionary, a pastor, or friend, nature, which we kind of get at today, there's no excuse. And I like this little thing. It says ignoring. That's another thing we do. Just don't, you know, like a kid. I got a grandson that likes to do this sometimes. He just turns around and just hides. I didn't do it at my house sometimes. So he ignores it. He thinks he'd be okay because he ignored, you know, he said, if I just don't say nothing, I'm okay. If I just run and hide. So that's the same with us. Ignoring or rejecting the evidence of God in creation leaves people without defense, without excuse. Leaves you without. So you can reject it or ignore it. Same difference. Same outcome is coming about. However you don't accept it, it's going to happen. Therefore, worshiping the created things is foolish and indefensible. I know that sounds like come out of nowhere, but what did he say? So you ignore creation, whatever. But also on the flip side of that, what he's saying here is don't worship nature either. Don't put nature as your God and stuff. You know, I'm not gonna go there. You can worship different things. You can worship what you want to. That's a choice. But there's only one true God, and that's what he's saying. Now we got to apply this real quick, and I get y'all out of here. So we're responsible for it. We know what it is. We know where to find it. We have scripture, and we go to church, all that. But I'm talking about the people that don't necessarily go to church or have the opportunity. There's no excuse. So now we got to apply it. We got to praise and thanksgiving. We can praise God for his eternal power and divine nature revealed in creation. Sharing the gospel. Now, this is us, okay, Christians. The verse highlights the importance of sharing the gospel as God's attributes are evident to all, even those with limited exposure to hell. In a sense, Romans 1:20 tells us it underscores the concept of general revelation. Revelation, that's, you know what that means? Revealed. That's what a revelation is. Revelation in the Bible, that's John's revelation, what God revealed to him to write to us. So what he's talking about is there's a general revelation. We all got the general revelation of God through nature, through creation. It underscores the concept of general revelation. God's existence and attributes are made known to all humanity through natural world, leaving no one without a valid excuse for denying or rejecting him. We got to remember, we got to stay focused on him. We got to do our part and reach the people we can reach and get that word out there. And then I just wanted to, let me take the I out of it. God wanted me to put this out there. So, because I have actually been asked, I'm not going to church, I'm not going to read the Bible. I don't believe in it, and there's nothing out there that can change my mind. And God just revealed to us in Scripture that He will reveal it to you out there, and it is evident. So just because you don't believe in it don't mean it's not, and it doesn't mean you're not going to answer to it. So you got to make a choice. If you hadn't made that choice, you need to make that choice today, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. I know you hear that all the time. Almost every preacher says, you know, if you ain't guaranteed tomorrow, well, you're not. You're not guaranteed nothing. So we need to make that right choice and follow Christ and get on board with this, go out into the world and spread the word. So I'll get everybody to stand. I'm going to pray, close this out, and then I'm going to come down front. And we have a song invitation here in a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for what you revealed to us and just breaking down these scriptures, Lord, and just putting on our hearts and just make it applicable in our lives to how we need to present it or use it or bring us closer to you. Just be with the ones again that's dealing with the lost family members up in the hill country. Just be with each and every one of them and their families. Just thank you for the many blessings you have done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you don't know Christ, the altar's open. I'm up here. Come up here. I want Jesus. That's all you got to say. It ain't that hard. And we'll go in the right direction with it. You need to pray. You got something to pray. The altar's open, or you can do it right where you're standing.